Hello, nerds, and welcome to a new section of the Nerd Cantina Show we'll be calling Fight Me Fridays. Occasionally on Friday, we'll be posting a new segment where we take two opposing sides of pop culture and current events and really argue about them in a respectful and fun way. Our first episode is this episode where we talk about The Last Jedi. I, myself, hated it. My friend Corey has loved it, and for years now, we have tagged each other in every meme possible, trying to get each other to see one another's point of view. This show was recorded prior to the Star Wars Celebration, so some of it might seem a little out of context currently, but I think we go over each point that we have discussed previously in the past pretty well. If you would like to participate in a Fight Me Friday, that is what our voicemail line and our comment section is for. If you have a well-thought-out argument and we disagree, we would love to have you on the show and participate in a Fight Me Friday episode. We look forward to bringing you more Fight Me Fridays, and your participation will be key in doing so. So without further ado, our first Fight Me Friday.
Put your dukes up, you don't like me, fight me. You know I keep it jumping like a Nike. Hypey, think I'm bluffing, highly unlikely. Sitcom like a TV show for the 90s. Steve Urkel better scram like Vamoose. Whack half your back when I snap like Thanos. Sith Lord better go and get your best bars. War the Empire blowing up like the Death Star. Power up for your player card or get caught like a Pokemon. This game ain't made for clones. Lord of the Rings versus Game of Thrones. It can't stop me, stop it. Jon Snow, King of the North, I'm knocking out hobbits. But anybody else who out of pocket, they don't really wanna see these problems, so drop it. Fight me. 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 That's my opinion, you don't like it, then fight me.
Welcome to the Nerd Cantina Show. This is our Fight Me Friday edition. This is our first episode that we're doing this of, where we're going to try to pick polar opposite sides of hot topic issues, movies, TV shows, whatever the case may be, comics, and literally have the Facebook fight you have with all your friends in the podcast form. Today, I have a longtime friend that we actually met on World of Warcraft. For all of my Nerd Cantina friends, that's some legit nerd right there. My friend Corey, say hi, Corey.
What's going on?
All right, so this week in our first edition of the Fight Me Fridays, we figured we would start it off with the multi-year battle that me and Corey have been having about The Last Jedi. I'd like to start it off with some things that, because I'm going to be in the descending of, I thought it was a horrible movie. I'll start off with some things that I think were good about the movie, and see if we can have a short discussion on some of the positive notes, because I don't want everyone to think that I just thumbs downed it and didn't appreciate anything about it. There were some good things in it.
Oh, I thought you just hated it overall. My bad.
No, I mean, I think it's a piling piece of dung, but I mean, even horse shit is put in farms to use as manure and grows plants, so there, it still has a use, so I'll give it at least that much.
It helps something grow, right, man?
I love the cinematography. I thought the cinematography was great. Some of those scenes were really captivating. The kamikaze scene where the whole screen in the theater just goes silent and black, and that whole, like, that was a phenomenal scene. All the shots, and I think it was done up to a Star Wars standard, at least. So I mean, I'll give it that kind of credit. What would you think of the cinematography?
I mean, that's not going to be one of my general, like, expertises when it comes to movies. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not like this movie buff. Like I would say you are. You're from the things that I read from you and stuff. I'm not gonna be able to comment on that necessarily. But I will say that things that took place in this movie that even I would critique, it had nothing to do with the shots and the action of
And that's, I mean, there was a lot that was held up to the at least the Star Wars standard. You know, the score was just as good. I thought the majority of the acting was fairly well. Special effects are always great with, you know, with Lucasfilm. And then I did enjoy, because most of the time what we're going to be talking about is probably the plot and some of the scenes and choices made. One of the things with the kids all being kind of like the next generation of Force sensitive, right. I did enjoy that, you know, kind of hinting that you can't, the Force doesn't just go away. It'll
right.
come back in some kind of form. I did kind of enjoy that, but that's about it.
I mean, if I can tail back on some of that, some of what you were saying, like, yeah, I mean, even when there was problems with the editing, which were very, very clear, and like, you know, obviously, especially the throne room scene where Snoke is killed, like even some of the camera shots and some of the directing that was happening with those action scenes are top notch. Like, I'm not even gonna, like, you can argue that it's some of the best like action scenes in the entire Star Wars universe. Like, I would put. Well, let's fight here. Like, it was a little sloppy at times, but like, it was a non-conventional Jedi fight. Let's be honest. Like, those Imperial guards or whatever you want to call them.
Okay, so that's going to bring me to one of my first major gripes, though.
Perfect.
There's not a scene in this entire movie where two lightsabers touch each other in anger.
Absolutely agree with you, and I'm not even going to fight you.
It is a Star Wars movie without one lightsaber battle, a true lightsaber battle.
Like, but hold on.
How do you make that movie?
I have a hard time fighting you on this, but like at the same time, I mean, okay, I'm Team Reylo. Like, I always have thought those two, like, I sense them both as like almost like as gray Jedi. Like, they both have clear, dark, and good evil, or and good paths. Like, they've been in that boat. Like, Rey, you saw it with Luke where she didn't see her when she put her hand on the glass thing and just kept seeing in the distance, and she went into that hole, and that whole metaphor there, they both clearly don't have a defined path or a defined history. So like, to me, when they teamed up, it was like a culmination of the unknown and the where are they going after this and the what, where have they been type thing, where we have more of a defined path with Kylo. But with Rey, we don't.
Every Star Wars movie has a lightsaber battle.
No, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is it was still a good action scene. Like, while I agree with you that there was no actual clashing of two lightsabers, one red, one blue, I still think the scene is justifiable. You don't get a little excited when you see them going against like eight guys? Come on.
No, not really.
It wasn't like an episode one fight where Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan just slaughter literally everybody and there's no fight until they get to Darth Maul. And like, it was an actual fight versus what we don't really know. Like, are they even force sensitive beings?
Darth Maul, there was one of the best lightsaber duels in the Star Wars canon.
Sure. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is like, it doesn't necessarily have to be. There's only two. Right now, we only know of two Force-sensitive people besides Luke. Like, we don't know where the rest of the. We don't know if
and that's another to the.
If the Knights of Ren are even Force-sensitive.
If there's only four people that are Force-sensitive, then none of those guards were Force-sensitive. So they're just basically Jamokes in red suits with lightsaber defendant staffs.
But we also don't know if they're not. Like, there's an open-ended. Like, I've read some rumors where they say the Imperial guards that were guarding Palpatine were Force sensitive.
This is where I'm gonna shut that down. I don't care what Reddit dickhead said they might have this and might have that. That's not what it is. What we know is the movie, and all of the assumptions to make the other points valid. I could have the same weight and say no, they were just random stormtrooper dummies put in red suits. They should have went down way easier.
But hold on. No. If you want to get into Star Wars lore, man, like look at the Mandalorians from the past in Clone Wars and in Rebels. Those guys had that the Darksaber, and there's no proof that any of them were Force sensitive. They were just good hand-to-hand combats.
Yeah, don't need there's no more Mandalorians.
No, and that's fine, but what I'm saying is, like, why do they have to be Force sensitive to be able to hand-to-hand combat?
Against what is the Sith apprentice and the next Jedi?
Sure, but your argument doesn't hold up because Obi-Wan had trouble fighting, what's his name? The Mandalorian that originally had the Darksaber.
But that's a Mandalorian. There are no more Mandalorians.
Mandalore still exists. Well, it's not in the lore, but it still exists. There's no proof that it's ever been destroyed. What I'm saying is, like, the hand-to-hand combat and being Force sensitive is, yes, it's a fair point to your argument that there was no actual Jedi saber-to-saber action, but it's still a good hand-to-hand combat, like, dynamic, which I still am not disagreeing with you. But I'm just saying.
To another point, then, since we're talking about who is Force sensitive and who isn't Force sensitive, I have a huge problem with the entire concept of it in this movie, given the fact that, one, Snoke doesn't know that Kylo's just gonna, you know, he doesn't know that lightsaber's coming. He doesn't see that coming, being the top, you know, Sith. Like, he doesn't feel dude using the Force against him. Like, we have movies where they feel each other's presence in passing starships that are God only knows how fucking far apart. But right. Yet when they're in the same room together, he doesn't know that's coming. And also, when fucking Kylo's standing in front of all those AT-ATs and Luke's standing there like a dumbass getting shot, he can't feel Luke projecting galaxies the fuck away. Like, you don't feel that Force at all. Like, no, like I could sniff out a goddamn Jedi like a fart in the wind from light years away in starships, but I can't fucking feel this dude projecting himself so fucking hard he eventually dies when he's done.
Like, I think you're discrediting both of them, because while I understand that it seems like it's a giant leap from where we were in Return of the Jedi, or even at the very end of Revenge of the Sith, which not canonically is the most latest, but it is the most theatrical, the latest theatrical release that we have to base canon on the ability of the Force. So I agree with you to an extent, but in the first 10 minutes of Force Awakens, Kylo Ren does something that no other Force, dark side or light side, anybody does. He takes a bullet, he stops it in midair, goes, has a conversation, kills a bunch of dudes, and then lets the bullet go and it explodes. Like, that's some serious Force control. Why? And at the same time,
it only goes to my point, is somebody that has that much control of the Force can't sniff out a fucking projection standing 5 feet in front of them.
But hold on. You got to give Luke some credit. Like, while he's been abandoning the Force the whole time, the dude has had the books from the Jedi libraries in his capacity.
Now we're just going to...
We're speculating. Absolutely. Yeah,
now we're just going to speculate. And that's where you kind of lose the argument, is that you have to write parts of your own script to justify shit in this movie.
So do you think the books are only there so that Rey can take him when Luke dies? Like, do you really think that's what the whole purpose of those books being there? Like, is that, because if so, then fine, but I disagree, and I don't think that Star Wars is deeper than that. Like, even if it's a very, very accepting community and very easy to just jump into, it's still got a lot of deep, it's got a lot of Easter eggs in there, man, and I think that that's one of them. I think that helps add to the depth of Luke's, his training after Return of the Jedi and what he had to do to start up a new academy of sorts. Like, you can't just completely abandon it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like he was way more crazy than any of the crazy end of the Force when he denied it than some of the Jedi that were in the council were at the...
That's another weak point, I think, in the argument, because according to Luke, he turned his back on the Force. which is another problem I have, because he supposedly turned his back on the Force, isn't Force sensitive, is just a regular Joe Schmo, yet this dude's on 80-foot pogo sticks, flying around and spear fishing with these things. Like not, you'd have to be in tune with the Force to do that. If you're not in tune with the Force, you ain't 80-foot pogo sticking from Rock Island to Rock Island, homie. Like, I'm sorry.
But couldn't it be just a bluff? Like, he started training Jay. Like, no, but seriously, though, like, I know that's a simple, simple answer, but how did he just start, like, knowing what Rey was sensing and knowing what she was seeing in her, in these visions and stuff? How did he know that if he was completely out of tune with the Force? I don't believe it.
But is that not what he says?
But who cares? Luke was a jokester in the original trilogy.
Character said, we're supposed to just ignore what the actual character said and then make up another subsection of the script that says, yeah, no, he was bullshitting.
No, dude, he was a
test.
I think it plays off the dynamic of both Anakin as a Jedi, and then it plays off of Luke as when he was being trained. He wasn't the most perfect Jedi. He was old and image, and he was way too set in his ways, and he did things off the hip. And I really think that why did he leave a map to get back to him? It's the same idea. Like, if he didn't want to be found, he wouldn't have left the map, and R2 wouldn't have had the last piece. Maybe it's bad writing, but I don't think it is. I think it's part of the whole script that we're gonna whole story that we're gonna find out in 9. Like, yeah, it's stupid. But we haven't seen the last part of it. We can judge the original trilogy and the prequels off of...
About bad writing. All right, there's nothing worse to set the tone for this entire movie than opening scene, words scroll up, deep space, battleships, starfighter.
I know where you're going.
X-wing staring at the fucking ship, like what's about to go down. And we get, like, the most fail of a fucking dad joke ever told in movie history to start of the fucking Star Wars movie. Like, how dare you? How dare you, sir? I could not believe it. Like, I started off my two-hour movie experience that I've been waiting for with my hand over my face. Like, oh, my God, is this what we're doing? Is this how we're going to do it now?
But come on, like, let's not act like there haven't been cringy moments in all of the Star Wars films. Like, I agree with you 100%, but it's not like it's not been cringy in the prequels. There's some cringy moments even in the OT. Like, I don't disagree with you, man. Like, I don't even want to fight about it, but I'm just saying, like, I think you're just older and you can see these immediately, whereas you go back and look at these movies that have these incredibly awful lines, and George Lucas was terrible at script writing. And you just are blinded by nostalgia and your love for this series, for those movies, because you were younger. Come on, man.
No, I kind of have to disagree with that, just for the simple fact that, yeah, some of it is rough, but you also have to, yeah, chalk it up to youth. They were young when they made those. They got older.
George was like 50.
When he made Star Wars, the first...
The original, okay, he was like 30.
Yeah.
He was our age now.
So the standard always gets better, right? And especially once Disney buys it and they put JJ in charge of it at first. Like, they've constantly raised the bar.
Have they?
I would say so.
In terms of what? In terms of script writing? In terms of cinematography? In terms of production?
I'd say overall production.
Okay, sure, but that's technology.
Well, I mean... Whatever drives it, the budgets get bigger, and then especially once they sign it over to Disney and they give it to JJ, and JJ does I didn't agree with it totally at first, but the more I watched it, I kind of got used to it. But an homage, they pretty much redid
A New Hope,
and packaged it in, you know, the new. So that was what it was. But after I watched it a few more times, I kind of came to terms with that. I've watched The Last Jedi a bunch of more times, and every time I think I just solidify my hate for that fucking movie. Like, I can't do it. I can't understand why you make some of the choices that you make when you know you have like one of the holy grails of movie franchises in your hands.
So wait, hold on. So are we talking about the things that you still enjoy or the things that you hate? I thought we were.
I was done with the things that I enjoyed. I had no more things to add with.
Let's touch on what you said about The Force Awakens though, real quick, because I've done kind of the same thing that you've done where I've gone back and I've watched them both, like not as a fanboy, as more of a critical analysis type thing. And at least I can say, and I know you're going to disagree with me and it's fine, but at least I can say with The Last Jedi that there was some originality and it wasn't a complete homage and a ripoff of an older movie. Like the whole thing with the third Death Star that we've had, like
all he had to do is not make the Star Wars movie again, and you get points for originality because you
not
just,
that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that while I've gone back to watch both of them, I think I take The Last Jedi higher because it wasn't a rewrite. That's the only reason that I do it. I love them because they are Star Wars, like at the epitome of it all. I love them for being Star Wars movies and films. But it wasn't
Star Wars almost. Like he did everything he possibly could to essentially what I feel troll us. Like JJ set up a nice homage and then left it open with some hints of where the direction of the movie was going.
What did you think was going to happen next? I don't want to interrupt you, but like legitimately, what was your next plot?
I didn't really have one. I like, honest to God, I didn't go in with like expectations of this is what I would do or this is where I think it's going. But in the direction he took it, it felt like he almost wanted to do like opposite of what JJ was leading it towards to spite him or something. Like he was like that mean kid that comes and takes your like airplane and flies it into a wall and breaks it and laughs when he walks away. Like, fuck you, kid, and leaves. Like, you know, oh, you thought Rey's lineage was going to go somewhere? No, fuck you. It went nowhere. Oh, you thought this creepy old looking skull of a dude was actually going to be some powerful motherfucker and do something? Oh, no, we're just going to kill him like a punk. It was literally like he just did it to just say, fuck what everybody thinks. And this is my playground. This is my sandbox, and I'll piss in the corner if I want to.
I mean, I can't necessarily disagree. It was a big misdirection, but I'm honestly leaving it up to the end. Like, I just feel like maybe JJ, like I really do appreciate JJ as a creative mind and his ability. Like, I love Lost.
Like, I can't put any of this on him. He's got a great record. Look what he did with the Star Trek franchise.
Well, the third Star Trek of the new one sucked.
All right. Well, I mean, come on. Now you can't bat 1,000.
Agreed. But I'm just saying, like, he's not batting 1,000, so it's not a perfect record. So he's got a big. If what you say is accurate, and it was just a big troll fuck you job to the Star Wars fan base, he's got a big old hefty job to take up, and I don't know that I want him doing that. Like,
oh, I sure as fuck don't.
Well, I don't want him to. I don't like the article you sent me yesterday about him retconning it. I don't want him to retcon it. Like, I think that's a giant. I think that's an even bigger fuck you to the fan base. Like, take it and make it what you can,
that's,
man.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. I had a friend that put it like in a good term one time when we were having a conversation. And he said, like, Rain's just this dude that comes over to your house, takes all your He-Man toys, and then plays G.I. Joe with them just to say, fuck you. And I'm like, oh, this guy now can do this. And it's like, no, man, like, these are toys in this, like, kind of bubble realm. Like, let's use our imagination and make a story with our He-Man toys that have to do with, like, He-Man. And he said, no, fuck you. He-Man's got a gun, and he's going to shoot Skeletor. And then here comes Barbie. Barbie's going to smack him in the face. And then you're just like, whoa, bro, whoa, whoa. Like, I thought we were playing He-Man, man. I thought we were playing He-Man. And he was like, nah, fuck you. Fuck you. This is how this shit goes down. This is how this goes down. You like that? You like that? Nah. And like, you can't blame like 30, 40% of the entire Star Wars fan base for being pissed off about that.
I understand. And I think part of the issue for me is that there was enough that triggered the fanboy side and the emotional ties into the end of the movie that I have. Like, I don't know. Like, I really loved, like, as much as I don't want to say this because I knew A, it was coming in some capacity, and B, I really, really wanted to see Luke versus Kylo in the legit light, like real life. But the way he went out, man, I thought was totally badass. Like, he did something we've never seen before, and he did it to sacrifice everything he had for the resistance. And okay, it was a total Jesus moment.
It was his Obi-Wan moment. It was his Obi-Wan moment.
Like, yeah.
So I get that. What I don't understand is how you channel the Force so hardcore that you do that, and someone that is supposed to be crazy Force sensitive isn't like, hey, I'm like, my little Force ear is tingling a little bit. I wonder what that means.
But like, why can't Luke be more? Why can't he's the master, man? He taught Kylo Ren everything. We don't like. Why can't he be stronger? Why can't he be more? Why can't he be more influenced by the Force? Why can't he do things that Kylo can't sense? Like, that's totally the way the Sith always worked. The Sith manipulated the Jedi forever.
If you could hide yourself from other people that easily,
Palpatine. Palpatine did it for years. He was the fucking chancellor, and he did it for years, and the Jedi had no clue.
And you're also talking about the top Sith. Like,
okay, but why can't Luke be that?
Because according to him, he turned his back on that life. So you're under the assumption that
he did what Yoda did.
He was just lying, and he was on that island training and reading those books and honing his shit, which would be total opposite of what his grumpy old man, like, meh, I'm going to throw this lightsaber over the cliff because I don't care about the Force anymore. Meh.
But hold on. Yoda did this exact same thing.
But Yoda was like 900 years old channeling the Force, motherfucker. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but still, like, he didn't.
He had eight.
He abandoned Luke, it. He couldn't go.
Luke lifetimes to be able to get to his power. And Yoda still didn't do that kind of crazy shit.
He didn't have to. He didn't know about any survival. I have to disagree with you because there were points where, like, Kane, you've watched Rebels. Please tell me you've watched Rebels.
Yes.
He didn't know that Kanan and Ezra existed? Because I don't think he did.
Well, see, that's not something I'm going to guess about.
Fair. But at the same time, like, there was only one. Or there was two, actually. Excuse me. There was Luke and Leia. They put all their stock into Luke and Leia. They didn't care about the leftovers. I think Luke cared about the leftovers. He knew that the Force wasn't dead because it was just awakening as he was establishing a new council and a new temple.
Well, and that's the thing.
So it's different than Yoda.
Yeah. But it doesn't ultimately necessarily lead to the most intense power move of a Jedi thing ever documented that, you know, ends up killing his ass. Like, that's my gripe, is that you can sense Force, sense somebody's Force in passing ships that are hundreds of miles away from each other, and just like feel it, like, oh, there's somebody's presence here. But when somebody has to project themselves through a galaxy to get to a position 10 feet in front of somebody, and that person is supposed to be crazy Force sensitive, I think it's a stretch to say that that person shouldn't be able to notice that this dude isn't standing in front of me. This is a crazy ass Force.
I think it's a good point, but I also think that we've got to put the character of Kylo Ren into perspective. Dude is fucking on the rails, man. Like, even if he's super strong and sensitive with the Force, like, he's still driven by emotion. He saw his old master in front of him, He may have gone a little haywire. I don't think that's a stretch. I don't think that's a stretch at all.
Again, we just have to. That's the thing is, if you want to make this a good movie, that coin always flips heads for you. You know, so something is a little off. Well, it can be explained by this, and you have to navigate your way through the movie to make it good.
Yeah, but Steve, what's hold on. How many times do you do this in other movies?
If I question it and navigate it to where, like, nah, man, I shouldn't. When it's a movie this big with this kind of budget, with these kinds of expectations, I shouldn't have to do any work to make it a good movie.
But that's half the battle as a Star Wars fan. Like, that's the way it's always been.
Come on.
Come on to me, man.
To a Coast fan. It's not about having to, like, deal with, you know.
There's always unanswered questions.
You just have to take the bad. Like, no. Like, you can have high expectations for this shit. It's movie gold. It should.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a stretch to want to have to use your imagination at parts. Like, I don't think that's a stretch.
I don't think it's a stretch to ask a movie company when they're going to produce a product that they know is going to make $1 billion no matter what. They could spray a turd gold and put it out there on a platter, and every Star Wars fucking fan is going to come watch it just because it's the Star Wars movie and it's a lot of people's childhoods and a lot of people's, you know, it's what they love. So they know that the minute they slap that title on a film, it's going to make them $500 million minimum. And when you know that and you have a fan base that is going to guarantee that, I don't think it's too much to ask to treat it with that kind of level of respect.
But do you really think that, like, do you want to go into a movie and have all your questions answered, especially Star Wars? Like, come on.
I didn't have any questions, really. That's the whole point is.
But you don't want to walk out, like, being like, what if? Or what's going to happen next? Like, the beauty of this is that we don't have all the answers, but we still have one more movie to get them.
Well, the only thing you have working in your favor is that now JJ's taking the next one. And he's going to do write-ins to kind of fix the ship. And then you're always going to have the excuse of, you see, it was supposed to be like this the whole time. We'll never know that, though. Don't you see? Like, I knew it was going this way. Like, no. Like,
we'll never know.
JJ threw him out of the sandbox. They kitty litter scooped out the corner the kid pissed in. And now they're going to come back with another fucking Star Wars movie.
But dude, and that's what, and honestly, like, I'm going to keep it real with you. That's why I didn't get in. I wasn't in love with Rogue One. Like, I knew they rewrote the ending.
That's like one of the best Star Wars movies they ever made.
No, it's great. And I'm not saying it's not, but what I'm saying is like, I walked out of that movie theater immediately. And I looked at my roommate and I was like, dude, what if, like, what was it supposed to be until they rewrote the entire ending? Like, we all, like, because of the way the internet and social media and all this bullshit is like, we're always going to know these details about movies that we probably never knew in the past. Like, maybe George Lucas rewrote the entire ending of Return of the Jedi and we didn't even fucking know it because, well, A, I wasn't born. And B,
I'm making my opinions solely on what they put on that fucking screen.
I know, dude, but no, you're not. Because now you're assuming you're walking into episode 9 and you're like, oh, now they retconned this and. Now Corey's going to be able to live in this world where, oh, this is how it was always. But dude, like, you don't know that because, like, if JJ would have written the whole script, it would have never been like that. That's what I'm trying to say.
They've already come out and said that, you know, they're going to try to clean up something. They just asked, dude, in an interview, I think in an article I read last week, I want to say I shared it on your shit to say, ha, ha, ha. Because they asked him, like, what do you think if JJ, you know, supposedly is going to rewrite Rey's lineage back in? And he's like, I hope he does something that surprises me. I hope, you know, that's kind of what I want. I want to be original and do new things. So if he writes something back in that, you know, that'd be kind of interesting. Like, yeah, Yeah, it'd be interesting.
But if you never ever knew he said that, and then Kylo says, "You're nothing. You came from nothing. Your parents were drunks, were trade farmers. They sold you away." And then the next movie comes out without the internet and all this information that we have, and JJ changes it all up, and she's Obi-Wan's fucking daughter from Satine. You wouldn't think anything. And so you know I'm right.
How could it be that if in The Force Awakens, the fucking generational lightsaber speaks to her, and they even make a point to note that, like, that was,
you know, agreed, 100% agreed.
So, and I'm not saying she had to be like Luke's or, but you figured there was going to be at least some sort connection. Of like Jedi lineage or something, you know what I mean? There was just going to be something more than just womp womp. They're nobodies. Like,
but the Force connects everybody.
It really felt like it's just a big fuck what you guys were trying to do. I want to wreck shop and do my own thing. I don't care. I'm not dealing with it. Oh, this badass Sith, you know, we're just gonna take him out like a chump. Just get him out of my sight. I don't want to look at him. I don't even want to spend the money on CGI for him. It was so like what is going on here? Like that's what I remember in the theater thinking most of the time after the dad joke, after.
No, you were just off on the wrong foot immediately.
After
the bombs, here we go with the bombs.
After a World War II bomb scene in the middle of space, where like yeah, you drop the bomb bay doors, and then in zero gravity, bombs just magically fall down, like in a World War II scene. Like that's because that's how space works. Fucking Neil deGrasse Tyson probably had a fucking brain aneurysm.
I hope he did during Empire Strikes Back too.
Like, you know, that was all pointless and bullshit. Pointless bullshit. Justin Trudeau is a goddamn, you know, supposed to be this main character in the storyline. They show him standing there. You're like, oh, that's a big actor. Like, I wonder where this is going to lead. Never show him again. Don't even get to him. Get to Benicio del Toro and a character whose name you never get. You never even, like, you don't.
I fucking hated him.
He doesn't even get a name in the motherfucking movie. And then by the end of it, that whole story arc is for nothing. And like the only argument that I allow,
Canto Bly was definitely a waste of time. I agree.
I the only argument I allow for that is that just shows how not all the rebels' plans work out. Some of them fail. Like you can't just like sometimes plans don't go the way they're supposed to go. But it even if that was the point, it still felt
like a misdirection.
Pointless. Yeah, it was like so anticlimactic. Even when Phasma dies, it was just so like, why does everybody in Star Wars die like a fucking chump?
That's an homage to Boba Fett, man.
That's what I'm saying. The ultimate chump.
Yeah, I'm glad we at least agree on that. At least his dad died like a pro. Got his head chopped off by one of
like
the
a chump. Like, oh, why? Because he got a couple blasters off before he died like a chump. Like he's the
yeah, but he didn't fall into a pit with teeth.
Yeah, I just can't understand how with these glaring gripes that at least you have to at least give me that you can see where I'm coming from. It's not like I'm just making these arguments out of thin air. These are like for you, if heads is good and tails is bad for you, the coin just always lands heads. And you're going to find a way to justify it and make it a good movie. Whereas when I see it, it lands tails. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Not, see, and I think
you had all this money, you had all this time, and this is what you chose to take my money and present to me. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
I honestly think that I think you're like just around the corner, like for me, like, I see your complaints and I see your frustrations. And while I don't 100% agree, I understand them. The thing about it is, is I'm willing to wait it out. Like after December and this next last movie comes out, you know, some messes aren't necessarily cleaned up and some,
but that's what makes it so painful is because, yeah, I'm going to go see the next one. They're going to get my money. Like, and
oh God, $15.
That's why it's like that stripper girlfriend you can't get rid of. You just can't, like, all right. You can't.
But that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, the only reason you can be like that is because you know now. Like, you have this information, this stupid, like, narrative from the internet. And not saying that, like, your narrative is stupid or anything, but it's definitely a vocal majority. Jeez. No, I just think that, like, the vocal majority has caused this toxic, like, I don't know, like, think about it. If this happened in 1984, would this have happened?
To defend the movie always goes back to, well, you're just a baby who didn't get what they want. Like,
I don't think that.
I just wanted a good movie. Well, that's been a major defense of it, is that if you didn't like the movie, you're just a baby who didn't get what they want. And, like, no, I take offense to that because I have serious problems. I have serious issues with the direction they decided to take this movie in and what they presented as the next Star Wars trilogy. Like, these were big events. They hyped them as, like, big events. They know it's going to make $1 billion. That's what they know. Put some effort into it. Like,
couldn't this be a deeper issue, though? Like, maybe movies just suck now in general because, like, the expectation's so high.
I don't subscribe to that. There's still good movies that come out, like...
Yeah, but with no expectation.
No, well, see, so that's going to be a big test. We got Endgame coming up real soon. And so that'll be a good gauge how well you can live up to the highest of expectations. Because there hasn't been a more anticipated movie in our generation, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's part of my thing is, like, I feel like we just, I mean, let's keep it real. Like, I'm excited for the end of the year for us to you know, come back on this. Cause even while I 100%, like, okay, I don't 100% disagree with you, but we definitely stand on different sides of the fence on this movie and this trilogy, even though you have some affinity for The Force Awakens, while mine is more of, this is just a remake. But, like, I think at the end of the whole culmination of the three movies, maybe it'll be better. Like, maybe I'll appreciate The Force Awakens even more once it's all said and done and I know where this is all going and I can watch all three of them in 9 hours and, you know, have a different opinion. I don't know.
But that's what I think the only thing that the franchise has going for it is that they have
no movie stands alone.
They have another movie to right the ship.
I don't know if we're running out of time or anything, but, like, tell me, what do you think one of the Star Wars movies literally stands alone? On its own, like without knowing or without watching the rest of the two of the trilogy, does any of them stand on their own? And that's what we're dissecting here.
I think a couple of them could. I mean, it all depends on who's going in watching. I mean, because the storyline does carry over in most, so you're going to miss out on certain things because they already did the character building in the previous one. So sure. you can't really say that any of them are really good standalone movies except for maybe The Force Awakens and A New Hope, obviously.
Well, I mean, even there you could go to Phantom Menace if you wanted because there's no backstory. I mean, well, there is. You're building off of Obi-Wan and Anakin. Like, you know where they go.
And that movie drags so much that if you didn't know anything about those characters going in, you'd kill yourself halfway through.
I was just going to say that.
So the only reason why you even make it to the end and deal with Jar Jar Binks is because you give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt because, like, man, let's just hang around for a little bit. That's Obi-Wan. We kind of know where this road is leading. Let's find out what the end of this is going to be. You go into that movie not knowing anything about Obi-Wan or anything about Star Wars lore. You're just, like, looking around the room like, this is what y'all give a fuck about? This is what y'all love? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, and they leave and they shit on Star Wars for the rest of their lives.
So do you think that's where we're at with this trilogy, is we actually don't know where the end is? Like, we knew where Anakin was going to end up. We knew where Obi-Wan was going to end up. We know where Yoda was going
to... But they get a mulligan in the fact that they get to revamp this franchise with the next movie. They basically focus group the world, and now they're going to make another good Star Wars movie.
So you expect this to be an awesome movie?
I do expect this one to be a lot better.
I'm so nervous for your opinion of it at this point.
I don't have expectations of it being good yet, but I think that to me, from what I know about J.J. Abrams, he actually gives a shit.
Right.
And that's all I really care about, is somebody that gives a shit.
Well, I was just talking with a buddy.
You can't tell me that Johnson gives a shit.
I don't know. I don't know him. I had no history with the man. Like, I have history with J.J. Abrams, and like, I've seen the things that he's created to where I can know that he puts his heart and soul into things. Yeah. So let's keep it real. So this is what I think is going to happen. Let's make some predictions here. Kylo Ren's going to die. Like, you know that, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a few people that die.
Kylo Ren's going to die. I bet Finn doesn't die, because he's been so close to death like 8 times. Like, if you killed him, it'd been like, why didn't you just kill him in the first movie?
No, I could see Poe going out like a champ.
Right. But Kylo Ren's going to die. The Skywalker story has to end. So Kylo's going to die.
You think? Or are they going to try to do
no.
the same tragic hero shit they did with Vader and make him the savior at the end?
But is he going to die still?
Yeah, you never know. Like,
did you know it would be totally badass? Have you seen Rebels all the way through, right?
I bought season 4. I haven't watched it yet.
God damn it, Steve. Why you gotta do this to me? I have a theory, but I can't say it without you seeing Rebels.
Whatever.
I'll talk about it later.
I'm basing how the next movie goes on a cartoon that maybe a quarter of the Star Wars fans watched.
It's not really that I want to tell you how I think the movie is going to end, but anything that I say beyond this point would completely ruin the end of Rebels, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah, well, fuck that noise. We're talking about one singular movie here.
I know, but it would tie it all together and it'd be pretty fucking epic, in my opinion. Finish Rebels, and then we'll talk later on I Am. But yeah. But he's going to die. Like, that's the moral of the story is I think he's going to die.
Yeah, I mean, it's a safe bet.
Right.
You know, like, the Vegas odds wouldn't be too high on that, I'm telling you. Like, you know what I mean? It's not a long shot that he ends up taking one. It's the unexpected deaths that get you. You know, and I could see Poe going out like a champ in some kind of blaze of glory.
Dude, what if they did a Romeo and Juliet bullshit with Kylo and Rey?
Oh, speaking of Poe, that brings me another fucking point that always bugged the shit out of me, is the fact that they make Poe to be out this insubordinate punk motherfucker that just doesn't like authority when What's-Her-Face takes over. I can't remember that.
Holdo?
Yeah.
The chick from Jurassic Park?
She takes over, and they're on like this suicide mission for all they know, right? The entire crew of that ship thinks they're just jumping to their doom.
Right.
And all he wants to know is, what's the plan? And she's like, fuck you, you're lower than me. We don't divulge the plan. You got how many hundreds of people on that ship? You can't at least just let them know, like, hey, we got this. Everybody keep your head up. Like, we're going to be all right. Maybe. Like, they acted like there was some kind of like spy on the ship that was going to give away the big destination at the end. Instead, all they had to do to calm everyone down and avoid all this big extra bullshit that they put in the movie was to be like, don't worry about it. There's a planet up here. We have this plan in order. Let's calm everyone down. No, the really excellent leader of the fucking rebels has a power temper tantrum and says, I don't need to tell anybody anything. You should just listen to me because you're supposed to listen to me, and let's all just glide through space until we all die.
It seemed like a really arbitrary test for Poe, and that I didn't enjoy necessarily, because like at the end of it, they're like, I like him. Me too. And that, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad. That part I didn't buy.
It's bad. So like you take all this pile of bad, you know, and I'm sorry, the good, that little speck of good I said in the beginning does not
cinematography
outweigh that bad. Like, cause the bad is bad, man. The bad is really bad.
But I think there's gotta be a point where the unknown still makes it exciting. Like you said, you're going to go watch the next movie. Like, we can't pretend like you're not, and we can't pretend like, even if they retcon it, even if it does feel forced, it's still the way it is. There's no argument. We don't know where it was going to go. We'll never know.
Well, with that said, we'll just have to wait, and after the next movie comes out, we'll have another Fight Me Friday right afterwards. And
if we agree?
We'll hash out the entire trilogy.
Hey, why don't you watch Rebels, and we can do this like right after you finish Rebels.
We'll continue it there. And if anybody else wants to continue this argument, we have the voicemail line and the comments section. So just go ahead and let us know if you do agree with Corey, if you agree with me, if you have other points you'd like to add on why this was a big steaming turd of a movie. You go ahead and voice those to us. So thanks for listening, guys, and take care.
Thanks, guys.